What is up, my love? Welcome to the Love Stands Here podcast. I'm your host, Megan Brianna from lovestandshere.com, and I'm a life coach, a certified eating psychology coach, but most of all, I'm just a girl who really loves Jesus and has spent a lot of time learning how to not only discover my worth through him, but also how to cultivate the characteristics that we're called into in order to live a healthy and purposeful life of love and service. My friend, living in the world can be really tough, and all too often we're taught beliefs and given messages by a broken society that make us feel like we're never enough and our worth is only skin deep. But I'm here to share some good news. Your worth is not in the world, but in God's beautiful word. So if you're looking for encouragement to live and love better, you're in the right place. Make sure to rate, subscribe, and share with your friends if you feel called, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Love ya. Hi there. Oh my gosh, 3 weeks always feels like such a long time to me. Like, I feel like if I could actually get it together and do bi-weekly, like I was hoping I'd be able to. It doesn't feel that long, but for some reason that extra week, I feel like I haven't been here in a year, but I did the best I could. I tried to. So what I'm doing now, and I think I might stick to this structure for now anyway, is I'm writing blog posts. I'm getting back into blogging again on my website, and I'm writing blog posts, and then I'm just gonna record the podcast from the blog post. That seems to feel really good to me right now. And it allows me to continue to be creative because I'm working through Pinterest as well. And I don't have to be on social media. And there's nothing about social media that is drawing me in right now. I don't want to be on it. Instagram and TikTok were pretty much the only places I've been on for the last year and a half. I can't do it right now. So I'm steering clear of social media, and honestly, if I could steer clear of it for the rest of my life, that'd be great. You know, funny enough, however, I'm not a Facebook fan, but I do really miss Facebook groups, and to the point where I'm like seriously thinking about starting one up again, because that was just like, I don't know, it's just like it's such a good place to struggle together. And like to support each other and to come together on similar vulnerabilities and share support for those vulnerabilities. And it feels like a family to me. I mean, they are quote unquote Facebook community, so it makes sense, but just kind of thinking out loud, I guess. But the topic that I want to talk about today is singleness and 4 reasons that your singleness is actually a blessing as a single girl who is used to being a relationship girl. And I know that's really specific, but I don't think that there is a lot of support out there for women like myself in the Christian community. There's support out there for Christian single women, but everything that I see, it's like a lot of it is women in their 20s who have grown up Christian. And they're just, you know, they're saving themselves for a marriage and they're waiting. And, or, you know, women in their 20s that have experienced a little bit of relationships outside of Christianity. But I don't see a lot of support for women who have come to Jesus later in life and who have experienced a pretty good lifetime of really broken, toxic, unhealthy relationships in the world. And it really is a one extreme to another kind of thing. And there's a lot of healing that has to happen from one place to another. And so I just felt led to talk about it. But before that, because in my last episode, I was just kind of willy-nilly all over the place and like, I don't know, just sharing off the top of my head kind of what I was going through and stuff. I definitely think that I don't like to over-spiritualize everything, but I also, you know, everything ministers to me. And I also just feel like really sensitive to the spirit sometimes. And sometimes it's really obvious to me when something is a spiritual attack. And I kind of feel like that's what I've been going through. Part of me is wondering if it's because, like, part of it is because I'm off of social media. So I finally just kind of settled into the fact that social media is not good for my mental health. I know there are some of you that it doesn't seem to bother you and you can handle it, and maybe you're really mindful about it, and it doesn't really have an effect on you. But even when I try to be mindful about it, it overwhelms me and I can't help but fall into comparison. And then like, I want to buy everything because of all the ads, you know? So, but I'm almost wondering if that was one of the ways that the enemy liked to get to me, was like the comparison portion. And now that I'm off of social media, it's like, okay, now what can I, you know, where can I stab her? So I say that because I got this book. I'll talk about it in a second. But I had a revelation last night, and I started thinking about the way that God blesses us or gives us provision of something that doesn't make total sense until months or years later. And so, for example, in the summer of last year, someone, and I still can't remember who it was, asked me if I had ever heard of Lisa Turkhurst, I think is her last name. And I'm sure I had heard of her. I had probably read some stuff by her, but it just kind of like in passing. But this was one of those moments where suddenly her name became very important to me and I couldn't let it go. And so not long after, I decided to look her up and found her book Uninvited on Amazon. And I just immediately knew I needed to read it, but I never got around to it last year. So when January of this year rolled around and life quieted down a bit, I picked up the book and I started reading. And it drew me in right away, but I'm also somebody who typically takes like 6 months to read a book, so it wasn't really something that I kept up with. But it wasn't long after that, so I would say, I don't know, pretty soon into January. It wasn't long into January. I guess even more so more recently, but anyway. I started struggling with a crippling anxiety that I hadn't experienced in a long time or maybe ever. And I know it was completely rooted in my fear of rejection because of what happened afterwards. So out of nowhere, I entered this season where my mind was starting to go crazy with thoughts of being rejected. Like every one of my friends' texts or lack thereof made me spiral into a whirlwind of fear that they suddenly hated me. And I don't know that I've ever experienced that before. Like I've experienced anxiety in friendships and stuff, but nothing like this. I developed insomnia that I had never experienced before. I don't know, for me, I was so tired and I would lay down at like 10 o'clock when I can normally fall asleep, or 10:30, and I would be so tired, but I also at the same time felt like I was crawling out of my skin and I couldn't get comfortable, and like my pillows felt like bricks. And so I would just lay there and toss and turn and try to fall asleep by the time I finally did, it was like 1:30 or 2 in the morning. And then I would wake up several times. And also, I was having dreams. When I did sleep, I was having dreams of being completely tossed aside by everybody that I love in one way, shape, or form. I'm not somebody that struggles with sleep. I can fall asleep and I usually stay asleep. So this was just very strange to me. And it's like, no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't make myself believe anything encouraging that God said about me. And I started to settle on a belief that I was just the exception, the one exception in the world to his truth. And you know, like even meeting new people, I met somebody new and we planned a coffee date and I got so anxious about it. I had to cancel. Like I was so anxious about it. I couldn't focus for like 48 hours. It was the only thing I could focus on. And this is just, I'm an introvert and I've had trouble like feeling uncomfortable in social situations before, but I'm not sure that it's ever been like this. It definitely hasn't been like this since I started my journey with God. So it's also kind of, I feel like it's kind of built up this shield where I'm really struggling to connect to God. Like I want to, but at the same time, I'm just so tense. I can't get there. So anyway, last night I had a breakthrough and all of this came to me, and I'm hoping that moving forward, I can stay in this space with God where I'm just mindfully praying and being intentional. And I just feel the connection that I feel right now, but man, it's been the weirdest thing. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because it's just real. And I don't believe I'm the only one that struggles with it. And also spiritual warfare is totally real. I was on the brink of being like, I have to walk away from this. Like, I can't. And I was like, Holy Spirit, you need to draw me back in because I cannot find the strength to walk back into this on my own. And it, you know, he did. So that worked out fine. But anyway, I want you to know that if you struggle with rejection, you're not alone. And the book Uninvited by Lisa Turkhurst is probably one of the best books I've ever read in my life. And I finished it and I will read it over and over and over again. It was like every time I picked up the book and started reading a chapter in the middle of this very bizarre period of my life, the words were speaking directly into what I was struggling with. So it's just, it's nice, you know, when we're in seasons where we can't see what God is doing in the moment, I just think it's a beautiful and merciful reminder that he's always with us and that even when we don't know it, he is guiding our steps and preparing the way. So like something that you might have felt led to do or to say or to purchase today, it might not seem super significant right now, but it could totally show up and make sense in a big way down the road. So like this book that I bought in September, you know, not being able to get her out of my head for the first time and then buying the book, just being moderately excited about it, not really starting to read it. And then by the time January rolled around and I started reading it, it was exactly what I needed to get through this season. Before I move on to the next part, I do want to share this deal with you because it's really, really good and it expires tonight. I had no idea that this was a thing until a couple days ago. Otherwise, I would have probably published this episode sooner, but here we are. So I just started trying Daily Harvest and I got a box a few weeks ago and I absolutely love the food. It's high quality. It's so fresh. And I don't know. I really like it. It is vegan and everything is pretty much made out of plants. So keep that in mind if you're not a person that likes that stuff. I happen to be somebody that likes that stuff. So today only, you can get your first box of 14 items, which is a really good place to start because you get a variety of things to try and it's not too much. Like if you don't end up liking it, you can get it for $8. And I have a blog post that I wrote because I was so excited about it because suddenly I'm in this place where I'm excited about stewarding money well, where I've never been like that before. Go me. But anyway, I have a blog post about it. I'm going to post the blog post in the show notes. So if you click on that, it will take you to a page that will give you the directions to get your first box for $8. If you can't find it, feel free to email me hello@lovestandshere.com and I'll help you out. But yeah, I just think it's a great deal. You're never going to get a deal like this again. So if you've ever wanted to try Daily Harvest, today is probably the best day. No pressure, of course, but I love you and let's move on to the rest of the show. So to get into what I actually wanted to talk about today, which is singleness and four powerful reasons, it's a blessing to be a single girl when you're used to being a relationship girl. I know it's definitely not all smiles and balloons, especially when you're a single woman who's a Christian. And if you actually read the blog, you'll see the picture on the top of this blog, which is a woman holding balloons and she's smiling. So it makes sense if you actually read it. And there are two reasons that I can think of specifically that it makes it difficult to be a Christian woman. And the first one is that the church is very family oriented, which is a huge blessing, but there also tends to be little support for the single community, especially if you're getting older. And, you know, you're starting to get towards that age where you want a family, but a family isn't happening. I shouldn't say there's a time limit. Biologically, there's a time limit, but we know God can perform miracles. And I think, too, in this area, the area that I'm in where we're so unchurched, it's even worse. I will say, if you can find a good church that is supportive of you as a person, like my church is, like, we don't have a lot of community for support for the singleness season, but the leadership and the people in my church community are so good at supporting me just as a person, it makes up for all of it. So, but still, it can be difficult. And then also, if we're women who are truly after God's heart, we are pursuing purity, which, as we know, is totally countercultural in the world of singleness. And then to make matters even more challenging, if you are anything like me and you came to Jesus a bit later in your life, your decision to abstain from sex after already experiencing it might take an extra level of conviction and self-discipline. Or maybe also like me, you struggled with codependency. Whatever the case may be, there's no doubt that being single when you've already lived a good chunk of your life in relationships takes a lot of courage and strength. But please take heed. Your season of singleness is imperative, and so is taking full advantage of it, even when it feels like the hardest thing in the world. So again, in this episode, I'm going to share 4 encouraging truths about singleness as a Christian woman that will help you finally understand how purposeful and impactful it is. And I'll also share on the blog, and I'll probably put as many as I can in the show notes here, the resources and scripture verses that have helped me learn how to finally become okay with being single after a lifetime of defining myself by my relationships with men. So, quick background. I was a serial relationship girly before I knew Jesus. I had no idea how to find value in myself if I wasn't either seriously dating a man, or at the very least getting attention from 1 or 2 or 3. My singleness wasn't even really singleness, because even in those seasons, my entire focus was trying to be loved by a man. Unfortunately, because a large part of my hunger for attention stemmed from thinking that I wasn't even worthy of love from a man, I settled into a lot of toxic situations. My last one was a doozy. Those narcissists, they will really do a number on you. I ended up sick, empty, penniless, and in the darkest pit I've ever experienced. Everything I knew to be true about life and myself was suddenly completely upended, and I felt like I was just floating around in another dimension. It really was wild. And my pastor once called experiences like this severe mercies, and this totally was. It was the worst thing I had ever experienced in my life. And yet, it's exactly what saved me from continuing to live in that broken world. It's what brought me to Jesus. Fast forward to over 5 years later, and I still can't believe how far I've come. I went from overwhelmingly insecure and codependent to almost fully confident in who the Lord has made me to be. I've slowly learned what healthy dating and relationships are actually supposed to look like, and I haven't been in any serious relationships since that nightmare mentioned before. It still blows my mind that I'm okay with this, that I'm actually living a life of singleness focused on things other than just trying to be a girlfriend or a wife. Of course, I still desire a family, and there are times when I admittedly struggle to feel hopeful, especially as I'm getting older, but it's because of my relationship with the Lord that no matter how discouraged I get, there's always a deep-rooted knowing in my spirit that I'm exactly where I'm meant to be. The journey hasn't been easy, but it's been worth it. I was never able to see my singleness as a blessing before, but now that I've experienced such a radical transformation, I think it's only fair that I share what I've learned. So let's get to it. So, 1, your singleness is a blessing because it gives you the space to get to know Jesus. Have you ever given yourself the space to form an opinion about relationships that wasn't rooted in what has been normalized in our culture or society? Focusing on a relationship with Jesus will help you with this. The very first verse of scripture that was revealed to me as insanely important when I was healing from my emotional abuse and codependency was Romans 12:2, and this is the NLT version. It says, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Can you imagine? The Holy Spirit dropped this gift off for me right at the start of my journey. A compass doesn't get much more precise than this. It's been my corest of core scriptures for the last 5 years, and if you're someone who's trying to learn how to follow Jesus after years of living separate from him, this is a good place to begin. It tells you exactly what not to do, what you must do, what will happen, and how great it will all be in the end. My favorite part about this life with Jesus is that it's actually the least complicated way to live ever. His instructions for us are simple, and it's God that does the transforming. The difficulty in all of it is the part where we have to make a practice of turning away from our worldly desires to allow that transformation to happen. Can I be transparent? This was the hardest part for me when I became a Christian. I had spent so many years allowing lust and emotions to drive my behaviors that being conditioned out of that has been a slow crawl. But it's so much better. Getting to know Jesus results in a deep understanding that most of the things we've been taught about love and relationships and our identities in them are wrong. It's very difficult to make all of this unlearning and relearning a priority if you're still borrowing instruction from an earthly perspective. If you and the person you are dating both have a firm grasp on the way of Jesus, then fantastic. Otherwise, more time alone is probably what you need. I know all of this may sound like a huge undertaking if you've been operating under a false set of beliefs the world has given you about everything as I had, but I can assure you it will make your life so much better. You just have to focus on one day at a time instead of letting the whole big picture overwhelm you. And remember that God is the one doing the transforming. Your biggest job is to keep your heart softened to his guidance. Number two, your singleness is a blessing because it gives you a new perspective. This one kind of piggybacks off the last one, but it's just such an important concept to grasp, especially if you are newer to this Christian life and haven't spent much time alone in it. In John 3:6-7, Jesus says that humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. Then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We must know that this life with Jesus essentially means starting over. We have to learn things all over again in new ways from a new lens and understand that how we define so many things in this world will completely change, especially when it comes to relationships. When I was in the middle of my life of codependency, I never developed an awareness of it until right before I met Jesus, because up until then, I never gave myself the space to see things from a perspective that was any different from the one I had. It's pretty easy to ignore red flags in any situation if your perspective never changes. And because our culture actually glorifies the idea that a constant pursuit of a man and or relationship is what makes us worth anything in this life, we need to find fresh perspective somewhere. This is where the Bible comes in. It gives us an eternal perspective that we can't get anywhere else. It hinges on a set of beliefs that completely contradict what our culture and society tells us is true. Ephesians 4:17-32 is another great place to look. It reminds us that knowing Jesus and his ways means knowing the truth. It teaches us how to live in the light, and that living this way means to reject the ways of the world that are corrupted by lust and deception. At this point, I'm sure you get it. Living as a Christian woman means doing things differently than the world tells us to do them. We know that it's celebrated in the world to just do whatever we want when it comes to our bodies and relationships, so we know we need to do something different. I don't know where you are in your journey, but I know when I first learned about all of this, it almost seemed like a prison sentence. I promise you, however, it's not a punishment, it's protection. God made us a certain way, and his word teaches us all about the things that will bring light and love and freedom to our lives, as well as the things that will ultimately cause pain and destruction. Case in point, our perspective needs to change, and when it does, everything will be better. Number three. Your singleness is a blessing because it allows God to work on you in secret. Can I tell you how thrilled I am that a lot of the healing and revelation I've had about what I need to work on in my life has happened in my last 5+ years of singleness? Maybe not thrilled, okay, but definitely grateful in retrospect. As humans, we project a lot. Or maybe you're just a really holy person and that doesn't happen for you, praise Jesus, but it does for me. I have to fight pride daily. I can look back at all of my relationship situations pre-Jesus and easily see my responsibility in their destruction. Yes, I put myself in a lot of unhealthy situations with toxic people, but I was also toxic. I tried to work things out with these people, but what would actually happen is that both of us would work our own stuff out on each other, and it ended up being a boxing match instead of a team huddle. When I was finally forced into singleness, and I have a whole post about that and a whole podcast about that. I can't remember the number right now, but I'll put it in the show notes. Suddenly, I had no one to fight but myself. It was tough, I'm not gonna lie, but it was also the best thing that has ever happened to me. I had no choice but to deal with the things I had been making everyone else's problem for so long. Being alone with God will heal and transform habits and patterns in you that you didn't even know needed work. And what a mercy that he longs to do it this way, that he desires to heal you and purify your heart in the quiet places with him. He does not want to embarrass you or put you to shame, but to show you the places that need to be pruned while he holds you in his arms and reminds you of how loved you are. The story of the Exodus is one I return to frequently when I think about my journey with God and the importance of my time alone with him. When God saved his people from the Egyptians, in his power, he could have just plucked them out of the situation they had been living in for so long and put them right into the promised land. But he knew there needed to be a wilderness season in between, or they would have no idea how to function in this new place of freedom. In the same way, we need an in-between season with God. We can't live as slaves in a broken relationship and think we can handle jumping into something better right away. When we are used to broken, we don't know what better looks like, so we often feel threatened by it when it does show up. In Exodus 16, the Egyptians are having a hard time with their newfound freedom because they don't recognize anything that's happening around them. The Lord tells them he will give them bread, but when he provides it in a form they can't identify, they are bewildered and have to be taught where it came from and how to use it. The bread that God provides doesn't look the same as the bread the world gives us. Can you recognize it? If you're not sure you can, but you know you want to live a life and have relationships that glorify God, let this be an encouragement today that maybe it's time to do something different. Stop trying to find healing in relationships and start letting the one who knows you best teach you about who you are and how he wants to transform you in the quiet places. I promise it's so worth it. Number 4, your singleness is a blessing because it teaches you how to love yourself. Self-love is not always such a welcome concept in Christian culture. I remember making a TikTok video, and my time on TikTok was somewhat explosive but pretty short-lived, where I was talking about the greatest two commandments. I was sharing my perspective on the part where Jesus tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and that I believe it's very important to first know how to love ourselves before we have any chance of loving others well. Someone, of course, commented disgustedly that loving ourselves is not biblical. I knew where she was coming from, so I made another video elaborating, and all was well in the world. This all comes back to when I mentioned above how the world's definitions of things are not the same as the words. We can, in fact, learn to love ourselves without it being selfish, if we are willing to let go of the definition the world has given to self-love so we can make room for what God has to say about it. And this is the opportunity we are given when we're living as single women. We are free to explore definitions and ideas and what God wants to reveal to us about ourselves without also having to navigate someone else's worldview or be defined by it. For the longest time, I had this belief that I couldn't possibly learn what is right and wrong and true and untrue about love if I wasn't gaining experience in earthly relationships. And while there's a lot to be learned that way, I found that it's not the best way, especially for those of us who define ourselves by how our partners see us. Under these circumstances, we aren't always able to discern the difference between what is right and what is wrong because we're so desperate for attention and love, we will make allowances for even the most destructive of behaviors. It is that desperation that often leads us into situations that are so toxic and manipulative, we end up learning a belief about love and partnership and ourselves that is not at all based in the truth of how we were created. It seems backwards to say the best way for us to learn what is true about love in relationships is to be alone, doesn't it? Coming back to what Jesus says is the second most important thing in the world, which is to love your neighbor as yourself, we can see that if we are struggling to know how to love ourselves, which is evident in our need for others to make us feel valuable, we probably aren't going to be such a solid partner in a relationship. In doing the math, this probably means we should figure out how to love ourselves before we are in a relationship. So figuring out the self-love thing is actually very important, and the only one who can truly teach us how to do it correctly is Jesus. It's not about learning how to focus on self more or how to become higher versions of ourselves, but it is about understanding who we are and whose we are. It's about learning the truth of God's promises and what he says about us, that we are created for a purpose and a hope and a good future, that he will provide for us and protect us and guide us, that we are covered in grace and mercy and set free from guilt and shame by the blood of Jesus. Once we can practice meditating on these things and allowing them to create in us a new belief system, we can finally understand why we are worthy of love. Because he first loved us. We cannot love correctly if we don't remain in God, because he is love. I could write pages more about the ways being a single girl after being a relationship girl is a blessing, but I think we've covered a lot of powerful ground today. To sum it up as simply as I can, God wants you to know him first so he can transform you, prune you in the quiet spaces, and teach you what a healthy relationship is truly supposed to look like. I know the process doesn't always feel like a blessing, but if you stick with it, eyes up, one day you'll realize just how far you've come. The Israelites made it to the Promised Land. It took them a lot longer than it probably should have, but their journey in the wilderness eventually ended successfully because God always finishes what he starts. God is equipping you in your single season. He's removing the things in you that could damage the blessings he wants to give you and replacing them with the tools and character that you'll need to steward well his beautiful plans. I hope you know I'm with you, sister, and that you are so loved. That's all for today. Thank you, as always, for listening. And hey, if you don't mind, would you do me a favor and rate, review, and share this message with somebody if you feel like it hit home so we can get these messages out to more people? And also, you can go over to lovestandshere.com if you want to check out my blog posts. And also, if you would like to contact me, if you have any questions or comments, or you would like to be a guest on the podcast, you can head on over there. You can also follow me at love_stands_here. On Instagram. I hope you have a great week. I love you, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.